going to turn to that psalm we read a little earlier, please, to Psalm 123. Just with God's word open before us, let us bow in prayer. How we need to thank God today for his word, and not only thank him in prayer for his word, but need to pray that the Lord will speak through the sacred page to all our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us today in the house of the Lord. We thank thee for the great truth of this hymn that we've been singing, that our times are in thy hand. We thank thee today for the word of God, that thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, as we come now to look at thy word, take away distractions of thought and of heart and of mind. Focus our hearts and our minds, O Lord, upon thee, upon thy word, upon thy truth and what God the Lord would say to us today. Not only help us to hear the word of God, but Lord, help us to be doers of the word of God. We realize, Lord, this is our responsibility, by thy grace and power, to put into practice what we hear and what we consider from the word of God. O Lord, hide man behind the cross. Cleanse me, Lord, afresh in the precious blood. We pray for and we ask for the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. And Lord, we pray that thy word today will go forth, not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and in the demonstration of God the Holy Ghost. Oh, that thy word would be written indelibly and effectually upon hearts from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, use thy word this day to quicken lost souls. Use thy word today to restore the careless. Use thy word to sanctify thy people. Lord, use thy word today to the glorifying of Christ, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen and amen. Now, the title of our message this morning is How the Christian Should Bear Reproach for Christ. Now, Psalm 123 was penned whenever the Old Testament church was being brought low and being trampled upon by the ungodly. This attack was one of scorn and ridicule and reproach. And you see that very clearly from what the psalmist says in verses 3 and 4 of the psalm. For there he says, "Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud." Yes, proud and godly men had risen up against God's people in the day of the psalmist. Such were carnal men. They were sensual. They were scoffers. They were mockers of the Lord's people. My, their words were like daggers, or if you like, swords, right into the very bones of God's people. It was a time of great hurt for all who belonged to the Lord and who identified themselves with the Lord's cause. We can say this morning that reproach and scorn has often been fallen the people of God. You think of Isaac this morning. The Bible tells you that Isaac was mocked by Ishmael. You think of Daniel, that great prophet down in captivity. Daniel too was mocked by the ungodly in his day. In verse 2 of chapter 4 of the book of the Lamentations, Jeremiah says there, "The precious sons of Zion are esteemed as earthen pitchers." In other words, he tells us there that God's people are often described and thought of and spoken of as that which is worthless and of not much value by the ungodly. Think also, dear people, of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Here on earth, he too was despised of men. He too was rejected of men. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Think also of the early days of the New Testament church in the book of the Acts, and days of great blessing. There were also days of great persecution and reproach. Bible speaks of the ungodly looking upon the early church in the book of the Acts. And this is what they said of the early church. It says, others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." My, they mocked the early church as being drunk with wine. My Paul the Apostle, he sums up this reproach when he was writing to young Timothy. And he said this, "Ye all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And my, it is still the same today. Places like Iran, places like North Korea that we hear of in the news, there is intense persecution against Christians. To meet together in this fashion, to be caught with the Bible, means death. It means separation. It means maybe years of being incarcerated in prison and under awful hardship. Yes, there is awful persecution in many places across the world today. Yes, here in our own country, in the West, yes, we may have many liberties as Christians, and we thank God for those liberties. But at the same time, we are not exempt from the scorn and the reproach of the ungodly. I believe every Christian has or will encounter the reproach and the ridicule and words of the ungodly at some time in their life. Maybe it's a young Christian at school. Maybe a young Christian at college, or maybe a Christian in the workplace, or in the neighborhood where they live, or maybe even amongst their own family circle. Yes, reproach for Christ is a reality that every believer must face and must recognize and come to terms with in their life. Just as it was in the day of the psalmist here in Psalm 123. And my, is reproach and contempt for the Christian is certain. This leads us all to ask a very important question. And the question is this: how then are we to deal with reproach as Christians? How is the Christian to behave in a manner that will glorify the Lord when they're bearing the brunt of reproach from the lips and the tongues of the ungodly? Well, you have the answer to those questions in the psalm before us this morning. But here the psalmist shows what every Christian must do in the day of reproach in their Christian life. Notice first of all that in bearing reproach, the Christian must look to the Lord. Notice the direction here that the psalmist looked in verse 1 of the psalm. He says, "Unto thee lift up I mine eyes." Who is the psalmist looking to here? You'll see from the rest of the psalm that he is looking to the Lord. In his time of trouble, he got his eyes off man. He got his eyes off himself, his circumstances, the world around him, and he looked to the Lord in heaven. You have a similar expression at the beginning of Psalm 121. Look at verses 1 and 2 of the psalm there. The psalmist says there, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." And this is how it always is with the man of God or with the woman of God. In their time of need, they will always look to the Lord, their God, their Savior. Think of the testimony of David in verse 15 of Psalm 25. He says there, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord." Think of Micah in his hour of darkness. He cried out, "I will look unto the Lord." Child of God, this is the direction that you are to look to as well in your day of reproach for Christ. The hymn writer says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." The hymn writer says, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, looking unto Jesus, who is gone before." O Christian, this morning, follow the example here of the psalmist. Look to the Lord. When you are mocked as a Christian by the ungodly. And likewise, let me say to you who are unsaved in our meeting this morning, friend, if you are to receive God's so great salvation in your life, if you are to know the forgiveness of all of your sins, if you are to know peace with God in your soul, if you are to know the grace of God in your life to live for God's glory, if you're to be saved from a sure and certain hell, and you're to be ready and sure of heaven and of glory, then, dear friend, also in this time, in this seenest time, you must look to Christ. You must trust in Christ by faith alone, and rest upon Him alone, and upon His sacrifice alone for your salvation. The Lord says to you in the book of Isaiah, He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Friend, if you are unsaved in the meeting this morning, young person, older person, man or woman, the Lord says to you in this gathering, look unto me for salvation. Salvation is in no one else, or in nothing else but in Christ alone. Remember the words of Peter. He spoke of Christ and he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. You will not find salvation by looking into yourself. You will not find salvation by looking to man or to the organizations of man. You will not find salvation by looking to this church or to some other church. Oh, if you are to know salvation in your heart, you must look away from self and look away from man and look to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him. Rest upon His blood alone to wash away all your sins. The Bible says, without shedding of blood is no remission. Unless the blood of Christ has been applied by faith to your heart, your sins can never be forgiven, can never be blotted out. But praise God, if you come by faith to Christ, no matter who you are, no matter what your sin is or what your sin has been, and trust in Christ and ask Him to save you and cleanse you from all your sin in His precious blood, praise God, He will save your soul. He will forgive all your sins. Because the great promise of God's word is this. It says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, the psalmist in his reproach looked to Christ. Christian, in your reproach, look to Christ. Unsaved, look to Christ for salvation. But notice something else here from the psalm in his day of reproach. And in looking to the Lord, the psalmist realized where the Lord was. He realized he was in the place of power, and that the Lord also was in the place of authority. Notice the words that he uses very carefully there in verse 1. He says, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. The psalmist knew that the Lord was in heaven, and the Lord up in glory could see his calamity. He could see his reproach. You know, sometimes the Christ rejecter will mock the Christian. They will often say, where is now your God? Where is the Lord? Well, the psalmist here answers that malice by saying to us in this psalm, He dwells in the heavens. Oh, Christian, as you look to the Lord when you face reproach, remember this, that God is in heaven. And that in heaven He is in the place of power. And He is also in the place of authority. The Word of God says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. And dear Christian, His power is able to save you and to keep you in your time of need. But my, as well as being in the place of power, God is also in the place where He sees all your need and He sees all your situation and circumstance. Turn with me in your Bible back to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Look with me at verse 9. And I encourage you, Christian, look this verse up in your Bible. And mark it well in your Bible. And it'll be a great encouragement to you in your time of need. Look at what it says in the opening part of verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 16. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro and throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Notice those words, the eyes of the Lord went to and fro all over the earth The thought is there that his eyes are upon his people. He sees his people. He knows their need. He knows their care. He knows their grief. He knows their reproach. If you ever visit, maybe on holiday, the great city of Paris, the capital of France, I'm sure you'll go to visit the Eiffel Tower. And what a structure of engineering that is. There's three floors in that tower. Every floor you go higher and higher. And if you reach to the very top of that tower, if it's a clear day, you can see as far as the eye can see. You can look right over the whole city of Paris and beyond. Now your vision, your view is greatly enhanced. And likewise, child of God, remember this, the Lord your Savior, who is up in heaven, who is up in glory, He sees all your need. He sees all your care. He is the one that you and I are to look to in our time of reproach, in our time of need. But notice secondly here from our psalm this morning, notice also that in bearing reproach, the Christian must expect from the Lord. He must expect from the Lord. And you see this from verse 2 of the psalm. Notice there the language there that the psalmist uses in verse 2 of the psalm. He says, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us." In his time of reproach, you see here that the psalmist expected mercy from the Lord in his time of trial. And he illustrates that by the thought, by the picture here that he gives us in verse 2 of a servant looking to his master for help in his time of need, and of a maid looking to her mistress also in the time of need. Now we can say here from the words and from the illustration that the psalmist uses here in verse 2 that he expected guidance. He expected the mercy of guidance. Notice again those words he says, as the eyes of servants look unto their masters. And my every good master will show his servant what to do. And likewise, the Lord also will guide his people whenever they look to him. Remember the words of Paul or Saul of Tarsus when he was converted on the road to Damascus. His question to the Lord was this, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, guide me. Show me what you want me to do." Christian, is your present need today one of guidance? Then I encourage you today to look to the Lord in prayer. Look to the Lord in the reading of His Word, and He will guide you in your time of need. God gives you a wonderful promise in verse 8 of Psalm 32. He says this, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." There's no mistakes with God when He guides. The psalmist here also expected the mercy of supply in his time of need. He speaks here at the end of verse 2 of the eyes of a maiden. He says, "The eyes of a maiden look unto her mistress." And again, every good mistress is one who will supply the needs of her maid. You think of what you read in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 31. And there the book speaks of the virtuous woman. And in verse 15 of that chapter, this is what it says. "She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household." And it says, "And a portion to her maidens." Christian, this morning, the Lord is able to meet your every need in life. In verse 25 of Psalm 37, what did David say? "I have been young and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." The psalmist also here in this time of reproach, he expected the mercy of the Lord's assistance. You see, every good master will give assistance to his servant. Likewise, Christian, you too can expect the Lord's assistance to do His work and to do His will in your time of need and in your time of reproach. Turn with me in your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 41. I encourage you, believer, to look up this verse in your Bible. Mark it also in your Bibles. Good to mark our Bibles. Get to know where things are in the Scriptures. It's always good to look up when the minister or the preacher asks you to look up a verse. Look at Isaiah chapter 41 and look with me at verse 13 of the chapter. What a promise you have here, dear believer. The Lord here is speaking to His children and He says this, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not." Look at the promise. "I will help thee." What a promise, Christian, in the work of God, in the will of God for your life, in your witness for Christ. The Lord says, fear not. He says, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with my right hand. What a promise to lean upon when you bear reproach for Christ, when you're saved and serving the Lord. Notice something else from our psalm this morning here in Psalm 123. The psalmist, he expected the mercy of God's protection. Again, think of the illustration here of the servant of the master. Every good master will protect his servants. At the present time, out in the land of Iraq, you have many there, ex-British soldiers serving as security guards with different companies. And the work there is to protect British patriots as they work and go about their daily task in that land. And Christian, let me say this, in doing God's work, in doing God's will, you can depend upon the Lord's protection in your life. Remember what David said in the presence of King Saul when he was going out to face Goliath the giant? He said, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine, this great giant." The rest of Israel were running from him. David goes out depending upon the Lord to protect him as he faced that great giant, that great representation of evil and of the Antichrist in his day. Notice something else from our psalm this morning. The psalmist also, he expected the mercy of reward. And again, that comes really through the thought, the analogy here of the servant of the master, the maid and the mistress. You see, every good master and every good mistress will reward their maid. They will reward their servant. We've just entered into the new year of 2012. And each new year you have the Queen's New Year's Honours list. And there was a list of people at the beginning of this year. And they've received a reward from her Queen for services rendered in their community in past days. Some are giving the OBE, the MBE, CBE and other rewards. Well, the Bible says the laborer is worthy of his reward. Oh, child of God, you can expect the Lord's reward in heaven when you're faithful to the Lord on earth. Remember how Paul labored. He kept that always before him. As he spoke to young Timothy, he said this, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." What motivated Paul to serve the Lord as he served Him? Wasn't His reward on earth? No, for He had none. It was His reward in heaven, that crown of glory, that is for all who are faithful to the Lord on earth. Child of God, be faithful to God in this evil day, and you too can look forward to reward in glory. But then finally this morning, I want you to see something else here in this psalm. In bearing reproach, the Christian must offer prayer. Oh, note that down, child of God. In bearing reproach, the Christian must offer prayer. Look at verse 3 of the psalm. And here you have the psalmist in prayer in his time of reproach. And notice what he prays. He prays, "Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt." Notice there how the psalmist prays. And he asks God here to show mercy to him. Not just to himself, for he uses the little word us. He's in the plural. That God also would show mercy to the rest of God's people and to God's church at that particular time. Christian, let me say this, whether you're saved young or just recently saved, whether you're saved a long time, maybe saved for many years, this is what you must do also in your day of reproach. You must pray. Give yourself to prayer and ask the Lord for mercy, for with Him is plenteous mercy. By the well of God's mercy is a mercy that will never run out. It will never run dry. And asking, you shall receive. Think of what the hymn writer says. Ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Christian, in your time of approach, you don't run from God. You don't turn your back upon the prayer meeting or the place of prayer, the quiet time in your daily life. Where does God want you to be? He wants you to be in the prayer meeting. He wants you to be in the place of prayer. He wants you to be kneeled down at the side of your bed in your own home, crying to God, seeking after God, pouring out your soul before God in your time of need. Nowhere in all of the Bible does God tell His people in their time of need to forsake and cast off praying and seeking God? Think of the great exhortation of Paul in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. He says there, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That's an exhortation to every minister, an exhortation to every elder, an exhortation to every deacon, an exhortation to every Sunday school teacher, every children's worker, every youth worker, every child of God, whoever he is, whoever she is in their time of need. What are we to do? We're to seek God for mercy, for help, or to call upon His name. Turn with me in your Bible back to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And here you have Daniel and the three Hebrew children in a great time of trial. Nebuchadnezzar's had a dream, and his wise men can't interpret it, and it has not found out the meaning of it. The wise men, and including Daniel and the three Hebrew children, they're going to face the death penalty. So it was a time of great need, all right. But what did Daniel do? What did the three Hebrew children do? Look at verses 17 to verse 19 of Daniel chapter 2. You'll see it for yourself before your own eyes. In verse 17 of Daniel chapter 2, it says, "Then Daniel went to his house," and it says, "and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions." And look at the beginning of verse 18. This is what we want to grasp here. It says, "that they would desire," notice the language is the same as our psalm, "mercies of the God of heaven concerning His secret." In other words, Daniel says, "Boys, come here. Let us go to prayer. Let us ask God for mercy, that God would show us the meaning of this dream." And look at the latter part of verses 18 and 19. It says that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." He asked God for mercy of the dream being interpreted. And he obtained the blessing, dear people. Why? Because he and his three friends prayed. If they'd never have prayed, he never would have got the blessing. The dream would never have been interpreted to him. Think of that, Christian, and then think of what James says about prayer over in his little epistle. He says this to the Christian: "Ye have not, because ye ask not." Oh, Christian, learn this morning. If you do not pray in your time of need, you rob yourself. You rob your family. You rob the work of God and all that concerns you of great blessing. That's what we do when we cast off prayer. We rob ourselves of the mercies and the blessings of God. Therefore, dear believer, in your time of trial, in your time of need, pray. Call upon God. Ask God for His mercy and His blessing. And in asking, you shall receive. That's the promise of God's word. and to doubt the promises, to deny God. God says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. Hudson Taylor said this, that great missionary to China. He said, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. Believer, in your day of trial, your day of need, in your day of reproach, whatever, go on with God. Seek the Lord. Give yourself to prayer. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Ask great things from God. William Carey was a young Christian. He had a burden in his heart to reach others with the gospel. He had the burden of the Lord in his heart and in his soul to do something more for God. And he spoke of his desire to go out to be a missionary in the land of India and other parts around that region. You know where he met the most discouragement from? It wasn't from the ungodly. It was from other professing Christians, other professing believers. In fact, one Christian, an aged man, said to young Carey, sit down, young man. If God wants to evangelize the heathen, he'll do it without you. But praise God, young Carey wasn't put off. He wasn't perturbed. He went on with God. He looked to the Lord. And that young cobbler went to India. Not only to India, but to Burma and other lands around that region. God blessed him and God used him. And my many, many souls were reached with the gospel. Or reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, let me say this, the Lord has not changed. Yes, as you live the Christian life, you and I will face reproach. If anybody says the Christian never faces reproach, they're a liar. It's not in accordance with God's word, God's truth. Yes, we will face reproach, but the Lord has not changed. As you go forward to live for God this day and this week and this year, rest upon God, lean upon God, trust the Lord. Be like the psalmist here. Look to the Lord, for He is exceeding able to do abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, according to the power of God that worketh in us. The lack is not with God. Let us prove God. Let us call upon Him. We're coming up to a youth mission. Let us give ourselves to prayer. Let us have a concern for our children and the young people of the area. And other things are planned this year in the will of the Lord. Oh, let us put our shoulder to the work of God and look to the Lord to command the blessing in 2012.